In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading from Matthew, the 11th chapter. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what exactly did you come here today to see? A reed shaken by the wind, who scratches your itching ears, who tells you everything is okay, tells you exactly what you want to hear, makes you feel good about yourself and all that you have done in this life and all that is popular at the moment? What is it exactly that you have come out here to see today? A man dressed in soft clothing? Perhaps. But there are far better and fancier clothes, and they dwell typically in the houses of kings, eating their delicacies while others do their dirty work for them. So then, what did you come out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, I am he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messengers who will prepare your way before you." St. Paul says this is how you should regard pastors in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Pastors are the ones, the voices crying out in the wilderness. We are the herald of good news, the prophets, the apostles, the forerunners, the servants of Christ. And you are here today for no other reason than to hear this voice proclaim the word of the living God. Now, to be clear here, you haven't exactly come out for me. Whether you like me or not, whether you're pressed or bored stiff, whether you are disgusted or attracted, whether you are proud or ashamed, it's not really me that you have come here to see today. Just as it wasn't John the Baptist, whom all the crowds went out to see. He's the guy, remember, who ate locusts and wild honey, all the while wearing camel his hair and a leather belt around his waist. Isaiah, he's not much more attractive either in looks or demeanor. Paul actually doesn't come with eloquence. In fact, he resolves to know nothing among those whom he preaches to but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You don't come here for the preacher. Well, not at least for any reason of sentimental value or even entertainment. If you want those things, you're better off, I suppose, sitting at home in front of the TV, watching a Hallmark movie or something like that. No, you come to hear what the preacher has to say to you concerning this one who was dead and is alive again, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isaiah the prophet, John the Baptist, Paul the apostle, me, your pastor. Each of us is given to be servants of the living God, stewards of the mystery, to lift up our voices and to proclaim to you, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We are charged to bring heaven to earth, God to you in word and sacrament. The moment it becomes my word or about me, the moment it becomes your word or about you or what you want to hear, is the moment we have failed to hear the gospel, to actually receive what God has given us in the person and work of Jesus. This alone can be a frightening thing, this preaching of the gospel, for both you and for me. For when the word of God is preached, you don't get to sit and pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. The word of God is not take it or leave it. The word of God is not I can sample and move on. I can come this Sunday or that Sunday. It really doesn't matter if I'm here or not. Who really cares in the long run? The word of God demands your obedience. The word of God demands your attention. The word of God demands your love. It requires you to submit to what it says, and believe what it promises, and to live in accordance with it. It may very well be that the word of the Lord that is living and active actually proclaimed to you becomes most uncomfortable or unpleasant, because it demands of you that you give up your pet sins. It demands repentance, and it demands faith. Give up your theft. Give up your sexual immorality. Give up your murder. Give up your laziness and gossip and coveting and wickedness and deceit and sensuality and envy and slander and pride. Give up your grudges and your refusal to forgive one another as our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you. So also you must forgive. The Word of God, it is living, it is active, and it pierces our hearts. It unmasks our sins that we hide in guilt and in shame. That is the risk you take sitting right there every single Sunday listening to the Word of Christ. For me, what's so frightening is that when this Word goes forth, you might not receive it. You might not receive the Word of our Lord. And in not receiving the word of our Lord, you might not receive me. You might dislike me. You might hate me for it. And who wants to be hated, right? I mean, after all, when you think about a pastor and the proclaiming of the word of God, a pastor's livelihood depends on you, the saints, receiving the word of God. If you stop receiving it, well, then I suppose what's from stopping you from cutting a salary or health care or a home? Right? It's easy. It's easy to scratch itching ears. And how easy it would be to stand up here and to ignore sin and tell you whatever you want to hear and whatever makes you feel good. But quite frankly, woe to the pastor who does that. And in the words of the Old Testament, woe simply means death. Death to the pastor who stands up here and ignores sin and scratches itching ears to gain the favor of the people of God, who fails to preach law and gospel to you in all its severity and all its glory. On the other hand, what makes this word so dangerous is that you actually, if you do actually receive it with joy, by faith in our living God, then it creates in you a desire to want to hear more, to return again and again and again as a Christian. And what makes that so dangerous is that you don't always want me then to get in the way, do you? You want me to preach the word of God rightly to you? You want to hear the voice of Jesus, your good shepherd, and you don't want it to be about me or what I've done or what I can't do or the abilities that I have. You want this to be about one thing and one thing only: Jesus Christ and Him crucified, in whom you live, in whom you move, in whom you have your being. For there is salvation found in no one else but Jesus Christ, our Lord. No name given on earth, on heaven, and under the earth, except that of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you will want it preached rightly to you, that you may hear it in joy and in faith. So the question that confronts us then today is simply this: are you willing to accept that risk? Week after week, whether you're going to hear this word or not. See, that's the question. If you are here then for the latest trends in church growth and how we can turn all of this around and make it like it was back when people were having an abundance of children and things like that, and you still have to haul out all the chairs and line them because people were beating down the door. How can we get back to that? How can we get more butts in our seats and grow our offerings so that we have enough money to do what we want to do? If you're here for 12 steps or 7 steps for a better marriage, a family, or well-adjusted children, or maybe you're here to simply pat yourself on the back, hear how good you've been and how hard you've tried and how happy God is that you've done all that you can do this week, then let me tell you this: you are in the wrong place. And you know where that door is. I'm sure that you can find a pastor who is willing to preach all of those things to you. But woe to the man who refuses to preach the word of Christ, law and gospel. But if you are here to hear the Lord's word, despite the risks, then you realize, like those who have gone before you, Lord, where else would we be but here today here and now, week after week. We have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else would we be? Where else would we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And as we come here today, we hear his word and we find him crying out time and time again on this rose-colored Sunday, this pink Sunday, which in the Latin is gaudete, simply meaning rejoice. We hear everything in our readings, everything in our gradual, saying the same thing. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation as he. Dear saints of the living God, you are the new Jerusalem. You are God's holy people, and he is your God. Your warfare against sin and suffering and death, they have ended. They have been crucified there on the cross in love for you, put to death with our Lord Jesus. It is finished. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he ended your warfare from sin and proclaims to you this day, I forgive you all your sins. He lifts you up from that pit of despair and shame that we have dug for ourselves. He takes you by the hand and says, arise. You are holy. You are perfect because I have bled for you. I have died for you. You are my child. He guides you along the straight path. He redirects you when you misstep and when you fall into that grave. When that time comes, our Lord will take you by the hand and he will say to you, arise, come with me, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Rejoice greatly this day, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Jesus has loved you unto death, even death on the cross. He has washed your sins away. He has marked you with his cross there in the waters of holy baptism, and you belong to him. He has spoken his words of absolution. I forgive you all your sins. He feeds you and nourishes you with his own body and blood on that very altar, so that in eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ, you may depart in his peace, even out there in the world to face whatever you face, joy or sorrow, but facing it all. Always in the strength, in the admonition, in the power and might of our living God who was dead and alive again. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Even when you find yourself like John the Baptist did today, locked in prison, awaiting judgment, awaiting to have his head cut off, and wondering whether God loves him, whether Christ has come for him, and whether or not that coming is for him. Take heart, even in sorrow, dear Christian. Rejoice. In this Jesus, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Even the poor have the good news of Christ preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me, Jesus says. You are blessed this day, for you are here to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, even if it comes by me, his sinful servant, yet a steward of the mysteries of God. And in hearing, you are not offended. Your eyes are fixed ever upon Jesus, for your life and your hope are only in him. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad this day, for your God has come to comfort you. He has come to give himself to you. He has come to gather you into the arms of his mercy, that you may rest safely there until you rest safely in his arms on the shores of paradise and the resurrection of all flesh. Amen.